From the world-famous city of New Orleans, it's the Black and Blue Report. Starring Sean Kelly, Producer Dan, D-Dub and the Black and Blue Orchestra.
Yeah.
And the Benchwarmers. Today's special guests include the New Orleans Saints, the New Orleans Pelicans, and whoever else we could get to stop by. Online and worldwide, it's the Black and Blue Report. Live, sort of, from Studio B, here's Sean Kelly.
How goes it? Wednesday edition of the Black and Blue Report. It is a bright and sunny day here in New Orleans, and we hope this finds you well wherever you may be. Welcome into the podcast for Saints and Pelicans fans. I'm Sean Kelly, and greetings from our Smoothie King Center studios today, where the Pelicans will wrap up the season. Believe it or not, they'll wrap it up tonight against the Houston Rockets, and I think many people are still buzzing about the big win on Monday over the Oklahoma City Thunder. So hopefully that momentum can carry into tonight as they look to beat another team that they've yet to take down this season in Houston. I would imagine that Houston probably rests some guys tonight. We'll see, though. We may see Howard. We may see Harden. But I think the playoff picture is pretty much set. The Pelicans still have some things that they'd like to work through. Just the simple fact of going out on two straight wins at home would be a nice goal to have here at the very end. And again, we'll see what Tyreke Evans has for us tonight as he's coming off of a career-high 41 on Monday. We'll preview the ball game tonight here on this Wednesday, or should I say Wesley Day, with David Wesley. He'll make his usual Wednesday stop here in studio with us, and we'll talk to him about not only tonight's game, but kind of the season in general as we wind things down here with game number 82. Also today, on the football side, we'll continue our NFL draft preview series with Michael Eisen of Giants.com, the New York Giants. The G-men have the 12th pick in the first round of the NFL draft, and we'll talk to Michael about where the Giants stand this offseason and what they might or might not do with number 12 on May the 8th. So keep that in mind. Don't forget tomorrow, our last edition of the Monty Williams Show. That's yours at 8 Central on WWL-FM. That'll put a kind of a wrap on the season, and we'll also have some recap stuff for you on Pelicans.com here in the coming days as Jim Eichenhofer and his team are visiting with Dell Demps and others. So look for that coverage on the Pelicans team website here this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as well. All right, so Producer Dan's in place. We're ready to go. David Wesley's on tap, and then Giants football, our focus a little bit later in the show, and we'll continue here from the Smoothie King Center studios in just a moment.
Here's a valuable lesson I've learned as an Entergy customer. Saving energy saves you money, and the online videos at EntergySavings.com show you how. A few simple projects can make a big difference in your bill. In just a few hours, I knocked my monthly bill down by 20%. It was easy. From caulking windows to programming your thermostat, the Entergy videos walk you through it. Visit EntergySavings.com and start saving today. That's the power of people. Entergy.
It's the final home game for the Pelicans, so you don't want to miss your last chance to see All-Star Anthony Davis at the Smoothie King Center this season. It's our fantastic Fan Alley this Wednesday night against Dwight Howard, James Harden, and the Houston Rockets. The first 10,000 fans receive a team poster courtesy of Smoothie King. Tickets are still available for as low as $11, so call 504-525-HOOP or visit Pelicans.com to get your seats today.
He has as many Twitter followers as Justin Bieber. It's Wesley Wednesday on the Black and Blue Report.
All right, back here on the Black and Blue Report. Time to make it a Wesley Wednesday by inviting David Wesley in as promised here on the last day of the regular season. Some would call it starters take the day off day in the NBA, especially now that the playoff picture is set, but here at Smoothie King Center tonight, the Pelicans will put their best foot forward against the Houston Rockets, and we'll wrap up these 82 games. All right, David, is it starters take the day off in the NBA? Is that what it's come down to?
If they don't take the day off, they will take most of the day off. They will go in, and they may play the first half, they may play a quarter, or they may take the complete day off. Everybody resting up and healing their wounds as much as possible to possibly make a long end of the season run.
I don't think the Pelicans and other teams who are not in the playoffs would be in that category, right?
Well, I think even teams like the Pelicans, like Anthony Davis shut down for the remainder of the season kind of thing. If they have those injuries that have been nagging and probably needs the rest, they may go on and rest it up and be ready for the offseason. No sense in going out there making things worse. So even in some of the guys that don't make the playoffs, some of those guys won't play.
How much did the win on Monday against Oklahoma City and Tyreke Evans' performance and all that change the way that you look at today's game?
Well, I don't know if it changes the way that I look at the game. I think it adds to the fact that the Pelicans haven't quit. They're playing this thing right down to the bitter end. They're playing with less than half their team and seeing some other guys get some opportunities, maybe some guys that are putting some thought on the minds of the Pelicans brass and teams all over the league, the free agents that are pretty much auditioning. I think a lot of these guys have done themselves well, at least put some thought on your mind, like, can we get this out of him more often? Can we get is this him or was that just one of those games kind of thing? So, last two games, Babbitt's been pretty solid, especially in crunch situations. Tyreke doing what he did, coming out just blowing the water out of it and beating a really good Thunder team.
If they win tonight, if the Pelicans beat the Rockets, which they have not done this season, that would put them at, 34 wins, right? So significant improvement, I guess, seven games better than last season. Would you view this season as a step forward, or is it the same as what we saw last season?
It's tough. It's tough to just go forward or the same as last season simply because, I think the team is better than 34 wins, so they didn't do better than 34 wins, but they were hurt, and they played hard, and they were better than last year. I remember us sitting back last summer talking about, oh, that's a good pickup. Oh, that's good. Oh, we're going to be, X amount of games better than last year. Oh, we're going to be relevant at the end of the season. And if it wasn't for the way that they've really competed towards the end of this season, I'd be kind of upset. Disappointed, I should say. Not upset. Disappointed that this season wasn't better because we had such high hopes. And pretty much since the new year, it's been this cloud looming over the Pelicans of injuries that won't allow them to be as good as they should. We still haven't seen the core group all together for a substantial amount of time to see exactly what the Pelicans actually have.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm with you totally on the way they've ended. If they win tonight, they basically be a 500 team in their last, 15, 16 games or so. So I think, and with nobody, I mean, nobody right. available. So I think that speaks to the character of the team. So I think that the character shows something and says something about this. But if you were to, assign letter grades as if we were in school, I think you'd have to give this an I for incomplete. I couldn't pass any further judgment on it beyond that, David.
I completely agree with that. I is definitely the grade because there's just a lot of unknown. You have a superstar like Anthony Davis who really took a huge step forward in a number of categories, leadership and playing and just, character, everything. But how does he play now with that big step forward with guys all available? You got Tyreke who stepped his game up, showed that he's a better starter than he is coming off the bench, so to speak. And then Drew Holiday. So the thing we've talked about all this this last half of the season has been, well, this score is out, this score is out, this score is out. Well, Anthony Davis averaged 20 and 10. Those are elite numbers. Will he average 20 and 10? Are there enough balls for him to still average 20 and 10 and almost three blocks? Or does Ryan getting his shots, Drew getting his shots, Tyree scoring the way he can score, does that take away to where he's still just a 15 and 10 guy or a 13 and 10 guy? Do you have five guys around 13? And none of them make the All-Star because their numbers aren't good enough. But they're playing on a team that has a lot of guys who can score, can put the ball in the basket. It's going to be an interesting season, an interesting dynamic next year, how these guys have to defer. And will they be okay with deferring to the next guy? Will this be a team effort? Do you have to move one of those guys? Something to think about.
It is something to think about. And the next question there would be, would the trade-off, let me phrase this right, is the trade-off having an all-star in Anthony Davis at 20 and 10, or have guys getting it done as a group with lots of weapons and you're a playoff team? I mean, isn't that the further goal of this franchise?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, when you get a taste of success, you want that. And the best thing that about Anthony Davis, at least by way of his mouth, is that he's worried about team success over his own. And that's going to be huge going into the next season, because if he's truly worried about team success, he's going to appear to do less, even though basketball minds will know that, yeah, he's still dominating. He's still in the clutch, the guy you go to. He's still leading this team. And that'll be great because, yes, going into the playoffs with weapons, as many as it would seem the Pelicans have, would be awesome. Who do you stop each and every night? Some other guy is going to have 20, 25 points, and you're not going to know which guy is going to do that. So it would be fun. A lot of guys involved, and I think they would enjoy playing that way.
Yeah,
you know what? In all this, I didn't even mention Eric Gordon. Another, you know, anywhere from 13 to 18 point score.
Well, depending on where there's only so many balls to go around, as you said. So,
right.
And I will say this about Eric Gordon. While he has taken a lot of knocks, I will say this. I think that he grew as a player this year in deferring more to Anthony Davis and others. I thought he played a different role in this year of his career than ever before, one that was more complimentary to those who were ready to lead the way, perhaps.
And that's huge. That's huge because if you think about it, he's been the guy, 18 to 20 a game. Tyreek's been the guy, you know, starting 17 to 20 a game. Now Anthony Davis has had a taste of being the guy, 20 and 10. You got Ryan Anderson, who any night could go for 30. So for Eric Gordon to take that step and defer to guys, yeah, you know, again, the average fan may not realize, oh, he's only averaging 14. You know, what's wrong with him? Well, nothing's wrong with him. He's playing well. He's a tough guy to stop. He's got a lot of offensive ability. There are just a lot of guys out there who can get it done. And depending on who the plays are called for, who's hot, it may not be your night. And you may seem, to a lot of people, inconsistent. Where maybe that's not the case. It's just a lot of weapons out there.
Anthony Davis is certainly the lead story for this franchise for the season. I just got done with my NBA awards ballot, and I made Anthony Davis my most improved player, and I also put him on the all-defensive first team. Do you want to argue me off of those, or do you want to agree with me on those two choices?
Well, as much as I like to argue with you, I have to agree. I would love to have some great argument for you that, oh no, you're ridiculous. No, I don't have one. I don't have my Stephen A. Smith on right now. You're absolutely right.
All right. League MVP, who do you got?
I think it's tough to pick. I think it's tough to argue that pretty good guy, Kevin Durant. I think that's his name. would be the league MVP this year with what he did without Westbrook. His ability, his shot making ability, his dominance, his scoring, putting up numbers that haven't seen since Jordan did it. I don't know how you don't. And they're going to be a 60 win team. No, they're not.
Nope, one shot.
Win yep. team. Yes, indeed. You know what? I said that the other night before the game. Joel was saying they win these last two games, they'll be 60 win back to back. And I said, well, they're going to win 59 because the Pelicans are going to beat them. Not really thinking that the Pelicans were going to beat them.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I was just saying, here we go. They won.
Yeah, and I agree with you on Durant being the MVP. And by the way, the whole 60-win thing, and I know you had this stat the other night too, it really hit me that the Clippers could become the first Western Conference team to go back-to-back 60-win seasons since the Mavericks in 05 through 07. And I kept thinking, gosh, with the Spurs and the Lakers in there and all that, only four other Western Conference teams had ever done it. And here we were putting the Thunder in that conversation, which is now moot. But I found that to be awfully strange, or how elite that is to put together back-to-back 60-win seasons.
Yeah, it's very elite. And if you look at the Spurs last 15 years, they're 57, 58, 60, 57, 55, mm-hmm. 50. I mean, they're right there. But 60 is 22 games in a season to lose?
Yeah. That's
not a ton out of 82.
No, that's the platinum standard. I mean, there's the gold standard, yeah. And then there's the platinum standard. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this is the last day of the regular season, this I'm sure won't be the last Wesley Wednesday because I'm going to want your thoughts during the playoffs. But I will put you on the spot today. I will put you on the spot. Who wins the whole thing in June? That's a long, dramatic pause there, David Wesley.
I know, and it's not good for a podcast, huh?
No, it works. Everything works in a podcast.
Everything works?
Yeah, no, there are no rules.
Let me see. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this, and of course, you have your front runners and all this. And dare I say, San Antonio Spurs get there again.
I said the same thing. I said this is it. And everybody's been saying this is their last shot. This is their last shot. But they came so close last year. They were so dynamic this year during the regular season. I think they do it. And you know, Doc Rivers says
they continue to win.
What's that?
They continue to win every year. They continue to win. 50, I mean, what, they're 56 or 7 games again this year. I mean, just they continue to get it done. And everybody wants to count them out. Why?
I don't see any reason to.
They're a very good playoff team. They've been there before. They've been to the finals. I mean, like, all those guys are ready. And their bench is powerful. They're not a huge, you know, like teams that shoot a lot of threes don't win championships.
I agree.
They don't. I mean,
well,
they have a great system.
They shoot more than they've ever shot before.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But I still think they don't necessarily depend on it like a lot of teams.
Here's the only thing I'll throw out there to throw you and I off the thing, because you and I obviously are agreeing on the Spurs here. I think the East is going to implode on itself. But my only concern about our prediction here, David, in the West – is that I think that the top eight in the West are so good that this tournament is going to be brutal. I mean, brutal, as far as physicality, length of series goes. And sometimes when that happens, when there's a big pile of you-know-what there, after everybody's been beating up on each other, somebody strange could come out of that mess. That's the only thing I want to throw onto the fire here.
And I completely understand that point. Except for tried and tested,
yeah,
are the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there. They've done that. And barring any major injury in the playoffs, I still think in a 7-game series with the coach they have in Popovich, they are going to be a tough out. And even when it comes to the East, who the top two teams in the East aren't playing well at all, Miami's not completely healthy at all. It's hard to pick another team that'll beat them in a seven-game series.
Great point. Let's finish on that. Last telecast tonight for you for the regular season. What are you pulling out of the closet?
I'm keeping it simple. You know, nothing too dramatic. Maybe a little pink and black. Just because I'm tired of looking for suits and shirts and ties,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going with something that's easy. It's been a long 75 games for the Fox Sports Group.
Yeah. I'm with you, and I'm glad that we're ending on such a hard-hitting story here at the very end.
Yeah.
My closet. All right, my friend. I'll see you tonight. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. It's been great, and I look forward to the next couple of weeks talking playoffs.
Yeah, and the next time that we can have a phone call that thousands can listen in on, like this one today, it'll be great.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
David Wesley here with us on the Black and Blue Report. The Wesley Wednesday continues from our Smoothie King Center studios right after this.
Hey there, what you having?
What kind of specials do you have today?
Well, tonight we're doing $2 benzene and tonics, $4 lemon arsenics, and $5 beryllium bombs.
Wait, what? Those don't sound like drinks. They sound like types of poison.
Well, it's a fine line. Besides, this is a smoky bar. What do you think we're all breathing in right now?
I don't know. Nicotine?
Listen, I'm gonna hook you up. You're not really living until you've had a formaldehyde martini.
Yeah, I'm going home.
Secondhand smoke does more than just stink. It costs Louisiana thousands of lives and contains dozens of harmful chemicals that lead to things like emphysema, heart disease, and lung cancer. Learn what's being done to protect all Louisianans in bars and gaming facilities at letsbetotallyclear.org.
Hardwood, hardball, and hard knocks. This is the Black and Blue Report.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. Our draft series continues on this Wednesday. Boy, it's getting close, isn't it? May 8th will be right around the corner, and our series takes us to pick number 12, and that's the New York Giants, who have a former Saint now in the fold in Charles Brown. But with us today is Michael Eisen from Giants.com. Michael, greetings from New Orleans. I hope you're well up there in New York.
We are, although it is unseasonably cold here today. It's not fun.
Well, I would say that it's unseasonably cold in the 40s here today, but maybe that's not so fair. So,
No.
All right, fair enough. Michael, the Giants here at number 12. When you look at what New York has to do this offseason, what have they done, and how does it relate to what they might do in the first round of the NFL draft?
Well, the Giants have had really the busiest offseason of any NFL team. We've signed 14 free agents who played elsewhere last season, which is very uncharacteristic for the Giants. But we did have 23 unrestricted free agents, so we had a lot of spots to fill. Now, we've re-signed 10 of those, too, so we've really made 24 roster moves already. And we're not finished yet, obviously, with the draft coming up, and we're still looking at players. So it's almost harder to figure out what the Giants are going to do at number 12 of the draft, because they have addressed a lot of needs. So are they going to continue to, build where they've already signed four players at the offensive line or in the defensive secondary, or are they going to go where they haven't really done anything, which is at wide receiver or tight end? So, there's so many different possibilities for the Giants, and the Giants are traditionally a take the best player on the board team.
Michael, when you talk about all that turnover, it seems to me that the Giants could be drastically improved or drastically in trouble for a lot of criticism there in a hot media market. Which way do you think it's going to go?
Well, I certainly like to think we'll be drastically improved, but I really believe that. I think the two areas where we struggled the most last year were offensive line and defensive backfield. As you know, you just cannot win in the NFL without a good offensive line. You have no chance. And we were really weakened considerably by injuries on the line last year. We have signed four free agent offensive linemen, including Charles Brown, as you mentioned. One of them is Jeff Schwartz, who played last year with the Chiefs, who's going to start at left guard. In addition, we get back Chris Snee, four-time Pro Bowl right guard who played in just three games last year before undergoing hip and elbow surgery. So we anticipate being much stronger in the offensive line, which really should improve the entire offense. And the same goes in the secondary, where we signed four players, notably Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, you know, the top-tier cornerback, a former Pro Bowl cornerback. So, yeah, I certainly think that these additions, I'm not going to sit here and say, look, 14 guys are going to come in and make a huge impact on this team, but I think that we have addressed the two areas where we were really lacking last year.
Michael Eisen from Giants.com with us here on the Black and Blue Report. Michael, most folks that I've talked to around the league now that have participated in this very series that you're a part of today seem to think that there's a wealth of talent in this draft, and especially for those who are picking, you know, here in the top 15 or so. It sure seems to me like most everybody thinks they can get a playmaker out of this deal. You agree?
Oh, absolutely. From everything that I've heard, and, you know, I'm hardly alone, everyone's heard that this is really the deepest draft in a long time, and that is really across a wide spectrum of positions. If you have needs at one of several spots, you should be able to get a good player in this draft. And certainly the Giants at number 12, I mean, we expect to get a player that's going to come in and contribute immediately. Again, at what position, I don't really know. But, you know, we expect to get a good player, not just in the first round, but deeper in the draft, second, third, and even fourth round.
Michael, what about the press or the fans up there? Are there names being thrown around that would make them very happy?
Well, you know, fans always want playmakers. And the letters I get to Giants.com, the fans are a little frustrated because they think that we have not gotten Eli Manning enough weapons. Like, where's the wide receiver? Where's the tight end? We signed a running back in Rashad Jennings, but we're still a little thin at running back. And the fans, you know, it's no hiding the fact that Eli had a difficult season last year. He was not at his best. I mean, a lot of that, I believe, was because he didn't have a very good offensive line in front of him, but there's no question that Eli struggled last year. And the fans want to see the Giants get playmakers for Eli, someone he could throw the ball to, someone he can hand the ball off to. So I'm sure if you polled our fans, they would say an offensive skill player. That's who they want.
So if the Giants drafted a cornerback or like a defensive tackle, there might be an uprising in the big city?
Yeah, there could be a mutiny here. There may be a march on East Rutherford if that happens. But I think having said that, we do have sophisticated fans, and they're well aware that we lost Linval Joseph, who was our top defensive tackle last year. He signed with the Vikings. So we do have a hole at defensive tackle. You know, we have addressed that a little bit in free agency, but that, you know, the defensive line, which is traditionally a giant strength, we've lost Linval Joseph and Justin Tuck this offseason. So, and as I said earlier, we are traditionally a best player on the board team in the first round, and even second, third. So if the best player, when we go to pick at number 12, is a defensive tackle, then we'll take the defensive tackle. I mean, we took, Pierre Paul when we already had Tuck and O.C. Umanura. So we'll take players at positions where we already have good players.
Yeah, that sounds familiar down here too. Michael Eisen with us from Giants.com. One more scenario for you, Michael, and that would be this. With the luxury of having filled some needs in the offseason through free agency, which it sounds like the Giants have done, would the Giants be a willing participant in someone else trying to move up the draft or be a trade partner for somebody else along those lines?
I would say, you know, that question comes up every year at Jerry Reese's pre-draft news conference. And, you know, his standard answer is, you know, we'll investigate any possibility. My own feeling is it would be unlikely that we would trade out of 12. I just think that, you know, we haven't made the playoffs in four of the last 5 years. The 1 year we did make it, we won the Super Bowl, but it's still four out of five, and that really is a very sore point around here, and I think that they think they can get an impact player at 12. I think if there is a trade, and traditionally this is what we've done, we trade later in the round. If we see somebody you know, in the third, fourth round that we like, then we'll make the trade. But we usually do not trade in the first round.
Great stuff, Michael. I hope it warms up for you there soon in New York City.
Thank you very much, John.
No problem. Michael Eisen with us from Giants.com as our NFL Draft Preview Series continues. And we'll continue on this edition of the Black and Blue Report.
Dan Evans reporting live on the street from Newsbeat. People all across Louisiana are going crazy over getting their refund check.
Reporter dude, I just got my refund check. Totally awesome!
It seems a bit early to be getting a tax refund check, but wait, I just got word from the control room that refund check is a new scratch-off from the lottery where you could win up to $4,000. You can get your refund check at any lottery retailer, but you must be at least 21 to purchase.
Refund check from the lottery rocks!
Dude!
There's no better time to join your Pelicans as we take flight. All-star Anthony Davis is taking his team to the next level, and the Pelicans are soaring to new heights. 2014-15 season tickets are on sale now and start at less than $300, with lower bowl options as low as $37 per game. Season ticket benefits include the best seat locations, discounts on concessions, and much more. Take flight with the Pelicans. For more info, call 525-HOOP or visit Pelicans.com today.
It's Pelicans game day. This is the Black and Blue Report.
Tomorrow on the Black and Blue Report, we'll, of course, recap the final game for the Pelicans this season. It'll be a recap, hopefully, of a win over the Houston Rockets for you tomorrow. Ben Grubbs of the New Orleans Saints is scheduled to appear on tomorrow's Black and Blue Report. And as they say in the open, you never know who else might stop by. So we'll see how Thursday goes tomorrow. Hope you have a great rest of your Wednesday. Don't forget, coverage on the television tonight starts at 6:30 with Fox Sports New Orleans. And on the radio, it's a straight-up 7 o'clock for coverage all along the New Orleans Pelicans radio network. There are some tickets still remaining for the fantastic finale at Smoothie King Center tonight. There are a couple of giveaways, and there are some big-time incentives for season ticket holders to be heavily involved in tonight's ball game as well. All those details can be found at Pelicans.com. Our thanks to Michael Eisen from Giants.com today and David Wesley, too, for being a part of our podcast. Thanks to you for listening, and thanks to, of course, Daniel Salerson for helping us put it all together. And until tonight at the Smoothie King Center, I'm Sean Kelly. So long for just a while.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Black and Blue Report. If all goes well, we'll be back tomorrow. Tune in each weekday at 12 p.m. or at your convenience exclusively online at NewOrleansSaints.com and Pelicans.com. Follow your teams direct from the source, the Black and Blue Report.
Every year, people whose statistics say would die from a serious health problem come to Ochsner and live. To us, nothing proves quality more than saving a life no one else could. In fact, on average, statistics say patients who come here are more likely to survive than at other hospitals in the state. Incredible outcomes aren't just happening at one hospital either. 7 of the top hospitals in the state for survival rates are Ochsner. We're also Louisiana's only hospital ranked by U.S. News & World Report in 8 different specialties, and number 1 in the country by CareChecks for liver transplant. It's no wonder people from all over the world come here. A higher quality of care. One more reason to choose Ochsner. And with hospitals and health centers all over the region, connecting is as easy as finding the Ochsner name. Learn more about why quality matters at OchsnerQuality.org. Ochsner, healthcare with peace of mind.